As I mentioned before, we have Pastor John Campbell here among us, who will be speaking to us. Pastor John Campbell is current director of credentials of the Canadian Church of God Ministries. He's also the former executive director of Canadian Church of God Ministries. And as far as I remember, it is the third ordination that you do here, actually, in this church. So he should be, at least to some of you who have been here for a longer time, you should know him. I met John many years ago, actually in Germany. I just moved to a new assignment. I was teaching in Bible school, and that's when a group of people from Anderson, Indiana came. And I don't know what occasion it was, but you were part of the board, of the missions board, and they were there, and that's the first time I met John Campbell. In the meantime, we had many ways to connect, serving together when I was on the board of directors, and we traveled together. Actually, we roomed together. So we had some story together, at least. So it was good to get to know John, and I always appreciated him, always appreciated his integrity, his way of leading, that he led the ministries here in in Western Canada. And I do consider him to be one of the spiritual fathers of our movement here in Western Canada. So I'm glad that you're here today, and so he will be speaking to us, and may God speak through you to us this morning.
You'll notice I didn't hop up and down onto the stage this morning like Egbert did. He's got younger legs than I do. And now that he called me a father, you know, that even makes it a little more aged as well. It's a delight to be with you this morning and to share in this special service. I cherish the opportunities that I've had to spend time with Pastor Egbert over the years, and recall many happy moments together, particularly when I first met him in Germany. I was traveling with some members and staff off the missionary board, and it was a delight to have those kind of opportunities. And it's a delight to be here this morning and share in this special service as we celebrate the ordination of Pastor Sarah. Over the years, I have marveled and reflected on the many ways and circumstances that God uses to get our attention in calling persons onto himself and into the ministry or into different forms of ministry. For the family that I grew up in, it would be a devastating tornado that swept through our southern Ontario farming community around midnight on May the 25th, 1953. It was a most horrifying experience to be awakened to, a loud, continuous roaring sound, a fierce wind, continuous lightning and rain, with debris from surrounding buildings being impelled against the house. The morning light revealed the devastation of a destroyed farm buildings, missing shingles and sheeting from the house roof, and a multitude of downed trees and debris everywhere to be cleaned up. Little did we know how much our lives and our future would be changed forever. That tragic event would be our first introduction to a small congregation of the Church of God and their pastor, who modeled love for God and people. It would be his demonstration of love and grace extended to our family and circumstances that turned our eyes and our hearts, particularly of my father, from being just a nominal Christian or a nominal church attender, to that of a journey for our family in living with Christ. And it would be while attending a boys' camp later that summer that I would accept Jesus into my life, beginning a lifelong relationship with the Lord and later sense a call to ministry. Our scripture this morning is Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. In the earlier verses of this book of Mark's Gospel, we read of Jesus' baptism, his temptation in the wilderness, and now we have him coming out of the wilderness after his battle with Satan to declare that the kingdom of God was at hand. But the kingdom of God does not exist in a vacuum. It calls for people to operate in its reality and power. And now the Lord begins by calling his disciples. One day when Peter and Andrew, James and John were at their usual work as ordinary fishermen, Jesus came by the shore of Galilee and called them to follow him with a promise to make them fishers of men. They never expected that moment, I'm sure, in their life. They never planned that appointment with Jesus. Neither did they know that that very moment would be the most significant point of their lives. From the early disciples' individual calls, we see that what he said to them is repeated over and over again in the life of every Christian. All Christ followers are called into the service of the Lord. And it is that call to ministry, that call that we are considering this morning as we celebrate this special service. And that call has a tremendous implication on each one of our lives, as well as in our following Christ. Let us remember that Mark's gospel is told from Peter's perspective. So it is no little wonder that it is full of details that only a fisherman would remember. As we seek to understand this passage, I would like to ask and answer five significant questions concerning the call of Christ to ministry. First, who does the Lord call? We are tempted to think from Mark's words that Jesus had only to speak, and without a moment's hesitation, these four mesmerized fishermen would fall into step and follow Jesus. But that is not the way it happened. This is not the first contact that Jesus had with these men. In fact, the events told over in John chapter 1, 35 and 43 occurred between Mark 1, 13 and Mark 14. At least two of the fishermen, Andrew and Simon Peter, had been followers of John the Baptist. And no doubt they had heard Jesus speak many times. They had heard him preach and teach, and no doubt had talked about his message and his actions. And what would those expectations mean that Jesus was talking about? They knew that John the Baptist had pointed Jesus out as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, on his part, had noticed them and picked them out as men of potential. Think of that, four old fishermen who have spent their time on the lake. He had been calling them persistently and waiting patiently for some time, as he does with many of us. And now he appears again, and this is their official call to a life of continued discipleship. Notice with me that the Lord calls ordinary people to ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 30 reminds us that God delights in calling ordinary people. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. The men who Jesus called to be his disciples were just ordinary people. And if we think about what these men will be called upon to do, it is astonishing that Jesus even chose them. They were not educated men. Indeed, they had much to learn before they would be qualified to do the tasks that would be committed to them. Perhaps even more important than that, they had much to unlearn. They were exceedingly narrow-minded. They were full of Jewish prejudice, animosities, and misconceptions. They were just men, a mixture of good and bad. They were not the aristocrats or the theologians, but ordinary men. In fact, God delights to use ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. Abraham Lincoln is purported to have said, "God must love the common people. He made so many of them." It is true that later, some very significant individuals from the world's standpoint are chosen, the Apostle Paul being one of them. He was a very educated man, a very intellectual, and called to follow the Lord. But by and large, people called to follow Jesus were just ordinary, everyday people, just like you and I. Who does God call? He calls ordinary people. Very ordinary people. Like you and I. Secondly, when does the Lord call? He not only called ordinary people, but he called busy people. They were in the midst of living their lives, running their businesses. It is still true today, should something need done, do not choose someone who is not doing anything, like we often do, but find someone who is very busy and ask them to help, because they are the people that gets things done. Sadly, though, many people today are too busy to follow Christ. They are so busy living their lives that they go away without responding to the call when it comes. There are also those who once followed Christ but are now too busy to respond to the call. The Lord calls those who would follow him in the middle of their daily routine. It is sometimes assumed that God only calls in the midst of something spectacular, but an examination of the people that God has called into the ministry will reveal that he has over and over called people who serve him right in the middle of their daily lives where they live. He called David as he kept his father's sheep. He called Gideon as he threshed grain. Mark discloses that Matthew is called as he worked as a tax collector. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were called as they ran their business, their fishing businesses. When does God call? He calls you and I in the midst of our daily routines of life. How were they called? It is a personal call. Jesus said, "Follow me." They were called by Christ and to Christ. They were called not to a cause. It was not follow my political agenda. They were not called to a creed or a doctrine. It was not follow my ideas. They were not even called to a religion. It was not just follow my example. They were called to a person, to the person of Christ. It was follow me. It is a call to allegiance, to a person. Perhaps no scripture better illustrates that than 2 Timothy 1:2. Paul here testifies, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How were they called? They were called by Christ and to Christ. Fourth, what were they called to? The call from Christ to come follow me is a call that demands a response. They had to do something to bring it about. Yes, Jesus calls, but the responding is up to us to make the decision, to make the choice, and say yes to Jesus. There's a threefold call. They were called to a salvation. God calls everyone to repentance and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It is the call to be a devoted follower of Jesus, the call to Christ-likeness, the call to developing an intimate relationship with Jesus through a life of faith and obedience. It is this first call which is the foundation for every other experience of the Christian life that you and I have. And it is the one which comes to every believer. Because of it, we are called to love. We are called to be disciple makers. We are called to be witnesses to the world of the reality of Jesus. We are called to develop the attitude of Christ. And among other scriptural injunctions, we are called to be a fellow believer building up the body of Christ. It is a call to a life of service, which flows from divine love and permeates every relationship and activity of life through one's obedience and giftedness. They were called to salvation. They were learning more and more, the disciples were, what it means to walk with the master teacher. The second is they were called to commitment. Jesus always calls us to follow him, to leave our former commitments and head in a new direction with him. We cannot follow Christ until we are willing to forsake our plans and our wishes. The King James Version translates verse 17 that these men forsook their nets. This conveys the thought that these men not only left their nets and old way of life, but that they abandoned it. The word follow means commit to me. It literally means to follow as a disciple and implies personal devotion. It is a call that is accompanied with an understanding of its seriousness. To be a disciple, Jesus warned, is not a step for the hesitant. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. Jesus knew that commitment is essential because those who are easily persuaded to follow just as easily often give up when the going gets tough. A good illustration of the kind of commitment that Christ demands can be found in history. In 1519, Cortes landed at Veracruz, Mexico, with the intention of the conquest of Mexico. Do you know what the first thing that he did was? He burned the 11 ships that they had come on. He now had no way back. He was committed to the task before him. The Lord Jesus Christ calls us to that kind of commitment. the disciples were called to service. Call to discipleship ought to shatter our comfortable world of middle-class discipleship. We are not called to be onlookers. We are not called to be pew warmers. We are not called to give ourselves casually or occasionally, but rather his call is to a lifelong process of transformation, learning the ways and teachings of Jesus for our lives and for our living and for our service. We may not be called to sell everything and live in poverty, but we are to follow him all the time. That does not mean that everyone is called to leave their present job or enter full-time ministry or be a career missionary, but everyone ought to have wrestled with the idea of God's call on our lives and what it means to serve him. No matter where we go or what we do, in every relationship, God has gifted each individual and has called all to a life of service. The call of Christ is a call that begins at salvation, leads to a call to commitment and service. Fifth, what were they called to do? In this text, we see that Jesus promises to make us something that we could never be without him or with the Spirit. Verse 17 says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Not only does Jesus equip these men fully for the task which he calls them, but he also plans to do it in a way that retains the personality of each of them. This is suggested in what Mark records that these men are doing at the moment that Jesus calls them. Peter and Andrew were casting their nets into the sea, throwing circular nets out on each side of the boat in order to catch fish. This may suggest that they were to become evangelists. For Peter, the divine plan involved public preaching, as at Pentecost when thousands were converted. Or Andrew, it involves his personality leading others to Christ as he had led his brother Peter. But James and John were doing something else. They were mending their nets. The Greek word for mending is the same word which appears in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, where Paul says that pastors are to equip or mend the saints to do the work of the ministry. James and John are equipping their nets, getting ready when Jesus called them. So this would be the work that they would be doing as fishers of men. For James, the call was ultimately to include the administration leadership in Jerusalem. For John, it would be a long pastorate in Ephesus. For each of the four men who were called, their services were different, but to each belonged equally the designation, fishers of men. Their response was that they immediately left their nets and followed him. God has called each of us to be ministers. You're a minister. If you're a follower of Christ, you're a minister of the gospel. This morning, as we reflect and think about the significance of this service and the call to professional ministry, one does not enter ministry as other professions. God also calls some people for special work. Jesus said to his special ministers, the apostles, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring fruit, and your fruit will abide." The statement, "I have been called." What a profound and powerful statement. We are very familiar with that statement in our church environment and the calling God places upon men and women for a professional ministry. The call designates, it elevates and empowers pastors and preachers and evangelists and missionaries to attest to the experience which led them to a vocation focused upon service to God and the life of the church. The call is awesome and solemn, one initiated by the Lord and received with a sense of responsibility which transcends time and affects life and lives in profound ways. The call profiles a stewardship of life which has eternal implications for the one called and the one served in response to that call. This call of God has come a long ways in history, going back to the time of Abraham in the book of Genesis. When God called Abraham to leave home and family for a land God would give him, Abraham went without question, not knowing where he was to go. The dramatic call of Moses at the burning bush should have caused him to respond at once, but Moses gave four excuses for not answering that call. God at times seemed to choose the least promising situations to extend his call. He chose the woman Deborah in a distinctly male-dominated society. God chose the child Samuel, so uninitiated that he didn't recognize the voice of God. God chose Amos, who was so poor that he had to eke out a living by picking the insects off the fruit trees. By most human standards, Amos was unprepared for the task of bringing the rulers of his day to a knowledge of God. Yet Amos's knowledge of national and international events was phenomenal. Hosea's very unusual call required him to live beneath the level of respectability. Jeremiah complained that he was too young to be called to prophesy. But God said, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I put my words in your mouth. This day I give you authority over the nations. Among the best known prophets, only Isaiah comes from the upper social political class. His call in chapter 6 is more majestic than that of others. In the New Testament, Jesus sends his disciples out to preach and to heal the sick. And Jesus returned to the Father, and the Holy Spirit came. God's power, wisdom, and courage was released into the lives of his followers. And the book of Acts records the unusual events which followed with great miracle and thousands of converts. As the early church was planted and grew and the field of labors widened, it became necessary for the apostles to engage others and to aid them in their work. And so we read in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, and when they had ordained elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended to the Lord on whom they believed. Timothy was set apart with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, and whom Paul called a minister of God and our fellow laborer in the great gospel of Christ. And to whom he wrote, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men and women who shall be able to teach others. The call to serve, the call to be a minister. And then this morning we are recognizing those who have been called in a special way to ministry to the church. It is my privilege to be here today as a representative of the Credentials Division of Canadian Church of God Ministries to ordain to the sacred office of the ministry Sarah Ann Adebola. The credentials team of the Canadian Church of God Ministries have journeyed with Sarah as she prepared herself and completed the necessary required for credentialing process. They have examined her testimony in Jesus Christ. They have witnessed her journey of faith. They inquired of her soundness of doctrine and holiness of life. and are convinced of her ability and respect to gifts, learning, dedication, and spiritual experience for ministries required in God's Word and accordingly required by the Church of God. The credentials team therefore affirms her call and presents her to you today for ordination. Ordination is the final step of vocational credentialing and recognizes a minister's call and vocational commitment to the Lord Jesus and to Christian ministry. As I said earlier in the message, as servants and followers of Jesus Christ, we are all called to be ministers. But in addition to this general calling, some are called to the church's special ministries. Paul, in writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, underscores the significance and weighty responsibilities of this call by saying, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." In assuming this ministerial office and its duties, one becomes a steward of the mysteries of God and obligates oneself to dispense them as a faithful and wise servant who must give an account of his or her stewardship. We are gathered here today to acknowledge the call of Pastor Sarah to the pastoral ministry of the Church of God, and on behalf of the whole people of God to set her apart for ministry through prayer and laying on of hands. I invite you who are gathered here and you who are listening on this occasion to join with her in this celebration as she is ordained. Sarah, would you please come and join me on the platform? During our interview with the credentials team, it was indicated that you would be asked to give a public response and witness to your testimony of faith and your call to ministry, and I would ask you to share that at this time.
Sure. My call to ministry came when I was 19 years old. I was attending a service, and God spoke to me that I was going to be a pastor. And as a 19-year-old person in a Baptist denomination, that was like telling me I was going to be something crazy. It was insane to me. But I followed through because I knew it was better to be faithful than to run away, because I knew that maybe down the line I was still going to be a pastor. It would just have taken me longer. So I changed my major from social work in college to pastoral ministries, and I started the journey to become a pastor. This is what I've been doing since I was 19 years old. And I love it. I love being a children's minister. And God has just revealed to me time and time again that He gives me the gifts that I need. Instead of me thinking I have everything that I need, God just tells me that I can do it, that He can give me strength to do it. From talking on a stage, to sharing a sermon, to leading people in communion, to meeting people in hospital beds. But most of all, what I love most is helping kids to know Jesus, to bringing kids closer, to knowing how wonderful, how beautiful the love of Christ is. And so God revealed that to me when I was 19. My youth pastor can vouch for this, but I said I would never work with kids. That was not what I was passionate about. But God changes things around. He changes hearts and minds, and has just given me the ability and love for what I do. And so I'm excited to be here to commit the rest of my life to doing what God has for me in ministry.
Thank you. I would now ask that you answer the following questions before God and those who are gathered, so that all may hear. You may respond by saying, "I do," or "I will," God being my helper. Do you promise to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ all your life?
I do.
Do you promise to be faithful to the high calling of God?
I do.
Do you promise to preach the infallible Word of God clearly and without shame or shameful ways?
I will, with God as my helper.
Do you promise not to preach yourself, but Jesus Christ as Lord?
I will, with God as my helper.
Do you promise to serve the church with all the power and strength that God gives you?
I will, as God as my helper.
Do you promise to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I will, with God as my helper.
Do you promise to live to the highest that you know, to live honorably and exemplary in this world, so that those who know you will be inspired to be Christian?
I will, with God as my helper.
Do you promise to remain faithful to the Bible and to the time-honored truths of the Church of God?
I will, with God as my helper.
Do you promise to faithfully give yourself to these promises?
I will, with God as my helper.
Based on the promises that you have given, I charge you to remain faithful to your call, God and God's church. I charge you to be a minister worthy of God's call. We, your colleagues in ministry, also promise to support you and to be there for you in this incredible journey that you have begun. May God bless you. We also ask candidates who are becoming ordained to sign a covenant. And the covenant is an agreement for ordination. And it reads as this: I, the undersigned, do hereby acknowledge my understanding that both the granting and the maintaining of ordination credentials is a privilege and a responsibility. In so receiving the granting of ordination, I enter into covenant with all assemblies in the Church of God where I may serve throughout my years of ministry. This covenant is to be recognized as my agreement that I will live my private and public life in keeping with the Word of God, the Canadian Credentials Manual of the Church of God, and in harmony and active participation with the assembly which I am ministering. It is further understood that should I fail to live up to this covenant, or should I cease from actively participating in the ministry of the Canadian Church of God Ministries, affiliated with Church of God Ministries Anderson, I shall cooperate with the assembly in the region where I am living in surrendering my ordination. Are you prepared to sign this covenant today?
I am.
Thank you. I would like to invite Alex to join her on the platform this morning. And I would also invite ministers that are present to please come for the laying on of hands. I've asked Pastor David to lead us in this prayer blessing with the congregation. Please stand. You can lay on it, lay hands on Sarah and Alex.
God, we thank you for this time that we can have to be able to recognize, to honor, and to acknowledge the calling that you have on Sarah's life. Lord, we thank you for her, her following and listening to your voice and her following of your Spirit. And for her tenacity that in the face of all the obstacles that are potentially in her way, Lord, that she was willing to follow you and to listen to you. And God, we thank you that we've been able to observe the skills and the calling and the empowerment of your Spirit on her life. And Lord, we thank you that you have brought Alex into her life as well. And that he is a support to her and that he is a partner with her in ministry and in support. And God, we pray a special blessing on Sarah and Alex. Lord, that you would just give them a real sense of your presence, of your leading, and of your empowerment of your Spirit in their lives, in their marriage, in their relationship, as well as in their ministry. So, Lord, we thank you for bringing Sarah to us as a faith community. We thank you for giving her a sense of your leading here. We thank you for the ministry that you have led her. We thank you that you have led her to love children and to love serving children and making disciples of the youngest ones in our congregation. And, Lord, as we are committed to making disciples here at Grace Point, we thank you that she is here to lead us in that with our younger generation. So, Lord, we pray a special blessing and thank you so much for this time that we've had to be able to acknowledge, to recognize, and to listen about the callings that you have placed on Sarah's life as well as all of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And now, upon the basis of your commitments, and your pledged word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the authority which has been given to his church, I hereby declare you, Sarah Ann Adebola, ordained to the holy ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Church of God. Lord, bless you. On behalf of the Canadian Church of God Ministries, I offer our congratulations and may God bless you richly in your ministry, is our prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Reverend Sarah Ann Adebola.